Yesterday, I was looking at photographs of Bill Rice Ranch Deaf Camp. One of the photos was of a deaf young man who was saved at the ranch some 50 years ago. That man will be preaching to deaf young people every deaf camp this summer. And there are no less than three people who will be working around deaf camp who were themselves saved either at the ranch or through outreach from the Bill Rice Ranch. So that deaf camp is both a historical fact and a current reality. Since 1953, deaf young people have come to the Bill Rice Ranch for camp free of charge. And that's made possible by the generous giving of God's people. Would you prayerfully consider giving towards a free week of deaf camp for a deaf young person this summer? $250 will fully cover a week of camp, and any dollar and any amount certainly helps. Thank you so much for your interest in what we're doing. Thank you for your prayers, and may God bless you for it.
Philippians chapter 4. Let you find it, then I'll say a few things, and then we'll read the 19th verse, fairly well known in the fourth chapter of Philippians. Pal, would you mind walking down in front of the book table so people can meet you? I want you to meet my wife quickly. You have to come down a little further, pal. I'm sorry. People over here in the corner, this is my wife, Mary. And we have three kids, Will and Sina. Have three children, our son and daughter-in-law, and then Wendy and her husband Lee have three children, our daughter and son-in-law, and then Wren and Nathan have three children. So Wren is our youngest, and she is 42. She's 42 years old. She was born when Mary and I were 12, so kind of gives you an idea about that. It's great to be back at the church. We're just really thrilled to be here. I'm glad you saw the video about campership. We've been in Florida since January 1st. This is our 20th church to be in, presenting campership. The offerings that we've taken have all gone for the campership. You know, a scholarship is where you get help so you can go to school. Well, a campership is where you get help so you can go to camp. Bill Rice Ranch began in 1953 with 12 deaf teenagers, 10 of whom were saved that week at camp. The other two had already been saved. And so through these years, we've had literally thousands of deaf young people, and literally, forgive me, thousands who have trusted Christ. And their way to camp is made possible through the campership program. Not the first deaf teenager has paid the first dime to come to the Bill Rice Ranch. They all come free of charge, and they have since its beginning, and that's made possible through the campership. So if you help with the campership, you help deaf young people. Now, it takes $250, we figure, for one deaf teenager to spend 1 week at the ranch. But the wonderful thing about the campership fund is if you give $250, or $2,500, or if you give $2.50, every dime goes to make it possible for deaf young people to come. Does this make sense? So don't feel like, well, I couldn't afford $250. I don't mean to be silly, but 25 cents helps. And so everything that you give, and none of it will go for our expenses, none of it will come to Mary and to me, and I know you're thinking, that's sad, Brother Bill. And you don't think nearly as much about the sadness of that as I do. But we will make it through. So if you can give tonight, that'll be wonderful. There's several books on the table in the back. I want to mention two. We're about out of these. In fact, we only have three of one of them left. First Light is Will's book. It's a devotional book. It has 365 devotions. How many of you people have this book? Can I see your hand? Okay, four or five. If you don't have this book, I think we only have three left. But you can order them online at BillRiceRanch.org. First Light is $12, 365 devotions, and they really are good. They're excellent. You heard Will preach, many of you did, and he writes devotions just like he preaches, and he preaches just like he writes devotions. And this book is brand new. I'm really excited about this. We have several of these. Says Who, as in from whence comes your authority? Who says it? God says it. And this is a book about Genesis and about relationships, and it's written by Lauren Rice. That's Will's daughter, and she has inherited an ability to write from her father. And this is really a good book. It's really good. Let me read you a couple chapter headings. You are not cast out. Lessons from Hagar. This is in Genesis. That one is really good. Recovering from Christian agnosticism. Lessons from Jacob. I don't know what the word agnosticism means, but I wanted to read that chapter just so you could see that a Tennessean could say it. So that's there. And then at the end of each chapter, there's a place where you can answer questions if you so choose. Now, this book is $15. This book is $12, but if you get them both tonight, and tonight only, if you get them both, you can get them for $25. All right, $15, $12, $25, that's a savings of, I think about $30. I'm not sure. It's something kind of like Kohl's. They don't tell you how much you spend. They tell you how much you save. And forget the fact that you sin. It is great to be back here at Land O'Lakes. Mary and I really enjoy being here. And by the way, the music tonight was wonderful, wasn't it? I enjoyed Emma and Susie when they played the piano. That was really good. Wasn't that delightful? And then the men's group when they sang, wasn't that wonderful? I just really enjoyed that. The church has come such a long way since the days of line dancing. And I'm so grateful for that. And the music was good. By the way, I love seeing a song leader that smiles. Isn't that good? I just appreciate Brother Self. Why do I always want to call him Brother Selfie? I don't know why that is. I'm sorry. It's just something in my mind. But at any rate, I appreciate his song leading, his musical ability, and he seems to enjoy it. It reminds me of Tim. It reminds me of Tim Thompson, who enjoys music. And so you folks probably don't know how fortunate you are with your music. The pianists, the specials, the men's group, it was all just great. And it's just wonderful to be here. We love the Petersons, and we love Mrs. Everett. And she's married, isn't she? Yeah, well, sorry. No, we just love all those people. It's great to see Ileana tonight. She spent a year at Bill Rice Bible Institute. And she came up, and she was going to hug Mary. And Mary misstepped, and she stepped on Mary's foot. So Mary has accused her of doing that on purpose, which I do not think is the case, but she made it through it anyway. How many of you people here at First Baptist have never been, I know it's embarrassing, have never been to the Bill Rice Ranch? Can I see your hands? Real high. Uh-huh. And you call yourselves Christians. Well, you need to come see us. Bill Rice Ranch is in Middle Tennessee. Let me tell you something wonderful. I shouldn't take the time, but I will. All right. Last year, beginning in September, because of COVID, through September, we had 2,000 fewer campers than the year before. That's because we were limited to 50% in the summer. We only lost 1 week in the summer, but we were able to have 7 of the 8 weeks. We had to rearrange some things, but nonetheless, God was good about that. But we had 2,000 less campers. Now, here's the second part. In September, we were actually up financially. Now, you say, Brother Rice, how can you explain that? Good luck. I can't. I can tell you a couple of things that happened. But it's not that we had a large, single, unexpected gift. It's just there's a God in heaven, isn't there? Now, I hope you're doing fine here financially. I do not know, and I should have asked before the service, but I have asked 30 or 31 pastors, being nosy, how's the church doing financially? And every pastor but one has said to me, better than last year. Now, that to me is thrilling. That to me is just thrilling because it means God takes care of his own, does he not? And that's a wonderful thing. Okay, you got Philippians chapter 4. Let's look at verse 19. And if you will, please, out of respect to scriptures, let's just stand as we read. Philippians 4, 19. The apostle by inspiration says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Read it with me, will you? I'll give the reference, and let's all just say it together. We'll try our best to stay together, but don't worry if you don't. All right, here we go. Philippians 4, 19.
But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the truth found in this book, the Bible, and in this book to the church at Philippi. And thank you for the 19th verse in the fourth chapter. Help us to see it tonight and think through it and see what you've said in order to live by it, we pray. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this is a verse in the Bible that proves that the Apostle Paul, who was a human instrument, was a Baptist preacher. You didn't know that, but this verse proves it because it has a three-point outline. That has to mean something, doesn't it? Probably not. But nonetheless, it does have a three-point outline. My God, your needs, his riches. Simple, but wonderful. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, before we get into the three-point outline, let me just mention that sometimes people think this is a general promise to everybody, and it is not. Now, it can be applied to everybody, and it certainly could be applied to this church or to you in this church, but this is a statement written to a giving church. We won't read them, but in the preceding verses, the apostle says, you know, when nobody else took care of me, you did. Once and again, you provided for my needs. And when others weren't providing, you were providing. He is saying, Philippi, church there, you are a generous church. And because of that, he says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's simply parroting what the Lord Jesus had already said and what the Bible had already said. For example, Jesus said, help me out. Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, running over, and pressed together. Will men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured unto you again. In the Old Testament, the Lord says, in the book of Proverbs, the liberal soul, see if you can finish this one for me, shall be made fat. Yeah. In the book of Malachi, the Bible says that we are to give. It's talking here about tithing. And it says, in order that your barns be filled. All right, so the principle in the Bible is give and receive. In fact, the apostle here says, others didn't communicate with me as concerning giving and receiving. Whenever there's a giver, there's a receiver. And whenever one gives, he also receives. Now, sometimes people are offended by this. They say, you know, Brother Rice, you shouldn't give in order to receive. To which I've said for years, why not? Now, I know it's been abused. I understand that. And I know there are people who will get up and say, if you want a BMW, give X number of dollars to my TV program and you'll have one next month. And I know that. And I think that's unfortunate. The Bible doesn't teach that in that thinking, but it does teach that if you're generous with God, he will meet your needs. If you give, you'll receive. After all, how can a person give unless he's received? And how will he receive unless he's given? Think of the woman who was a widow who gave her last mite. Where'd she get it? You ever thought of that? You think she gave next Saturday at the temple? Well, if you're asking me, I don't think there's any question but that she did. Well, you say, how could she have given the next Saturday? Where'd she get the money? Well, theologian, where'd she get it this Saturday? Where'd she get it this week? See, the Bible is careful in explaining that the giver will always be able to be a giver. Because as he gives, he receives in order that he can give. For example, has there ever been a project here at the church and you said, I wish I could help with that? Pastor gets up and says, we need a new carpet. By the way, the auditorium looks great. I like this. So the pastor says, we need a new carpet, and it's going to be a ridiculous number. It's going to be $4,000. It's more than that, but let me use that tonight. And you say, oh, man, we do need a new carpet. I wish I could help, but I've already given everything I have, and I just can't help with the new carpet. Why can you not? If you were a giver, you'd be a receiver. And if you were a receiver, you could be a giver. Are you following this? And so the only reason people can't give is because they haven't. But if you have, you can. You say, well, I'm not sure it works that way. Well, then call God a liar to his face. Just say, Lord, I know you mean well, but you don't understand what you're saying. I can't give when I don't have anything. Isn't this interesting? When Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, give. Do you think he included teenagers in that? Okay. Which means he assumed that they could. Do teenagers make a lot of money? Well, some of them do, but most of them I would say not. Do they have jobs or businesses or work? Probably not. But when Jesus said give, he did not say, give if thou be rich. He didn't say, give if thou ownest a company. He didn't say, give if thou art retired with millions in the bank. He just said, give. And I'm included in that, and you're included in that. And so God Almighty, who spoke the world into existence, expects that you can give. And so this is written to people who were generous. Written to giving people. Three things. Number one, my God. Now, I love this because to me, this is enduring. When I was in college, I had a professor who said in class one day, you know, people say that Abba, Father, you've heard this, have you not? Abba, which is in Aramaic, Abba, Father, is like saying daddy. And this man said in class, he said, God is not my daddy. Now, it was good for me to hear that, but he was wrong. It was good for me to hear that because it's good for me not to be flippant about Almighty God. And it's good for me to recognize God as Father. That's good. But God is your daddy. God is personal. And God does love you. He is my God. The psalmist said, the Lord is my, help me out, the Lord is my shepherd. God is your shepherd. Thomas said, in speaking of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 20, verse 28, Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Now, this doesn't mean that you own God like you would own a pet, or that you own God like you would a car or your house or some other possession. I understand that, but it does mean that God is personal. God is not some being that lives off somewhere in the Milky Way that occasionally is bothered by your prayers. You can't pray too much. You can't speak to God too much. You can't ask God for too much. God is your God. And so the apostle says here, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So number one, my God. Number two, your need. Now, would it be silly tonight if I said, how many people in this service have a need or have needs? Wouldn't that be a silly question? Don't we all have needs? Don't all of us have needs? To say that God supplies our needs is not limited to finances. Now, we often think of finances in Philippians chapter 4 because there's a prerequisite to it. In other words, the apostle does talk about their having provided for him, and he does say, my God shall supply your needs, and that is because this was a generous church or a giving church. But we have needs other than financial, do we not? Emotional, intellectual, family, job, school, friendships. Isn't that true? Don't we all have needs? And you know that the needs that I have cannot be provided through my own personal abilities. For example, the Bible says to me, Bill, well, it doesn't use my name, but the Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So the Bible commands me. It doesn't suggest. It doesn't request. The Bible commands that I love Mary just like God in Christ loved me. Well, can you love like God does? You think I could love Mary like Christ loved me? I'm commanded to do so, am I not? Bob Jones Sr., an evangelist in the last century, used to say, back of God's commands, he puts omnipotence. In other words, anything God commands that you do, he can empower you to do it. So whatever the need is, God can supply your needs. Now, somebody says, well, yes, this is wonderful. God has promised to supply our needs, but don't think God will supply your wants, brother. God supplies our needs. If you need it, God supplies it, but not, don't go out there and just think, well, I would sure like to have that and think that God would supply that. Well, that sounds good to pious people, but it's not what the Bible teaches at all. In the book of Psalms, the Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. God's not just interested in giving you what you need. God's interested in providing your desires, your wants. Now, there is a catch to this. And the catch is that your wanter has to be fixed by God, so that what you want is what God wants for you. But it is totally false to have this idea that the Christian can have his needs met, but he can never have what he wants fulfilled. The Bible doesn't teach that at all. The truth is that the Christian in fellowship will have his wants supplied just like he'll have his needs supplied. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, isn't that a wonderful truth? So what are your needs? Fear? You have a need to overcome that? Health? You have a need for that? Certainty? Confidence? Righteous decisions or living? Don't we all have needs like that? Look, this is not simply a cute statement, it's a truth. My God shall supply all your need according to his own riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So God can supply your needs. Number one, my God. Number two, your needs. And this is really my favorite. According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God doesn't supply our needs according to our needs. He supplies our needs according to his riches. There's a big difference. I have 9 grandchildren. Mary and I have 9 grandchildren. And the youngest is going to be 14 in a few days, and the oldest is 23. Am I right, pal? Okay. So we've got, that's hard to believe that I have a 23-year-old granddaughter, but I do. All right, and Mary does too. So we have grandchildren. Now, we love our grandchildren. How many of you have grandchildren? They're just wonderful to love on, aren't they? You know, that snuck up on me. I knew we would love our kids, and we did, and we enjoyed our children much. But grandchildren are something. They're just something. They're heart grabbers. So I love my grandchildren. Okay. My youngest is Weston. He was here about a month ago with his dad and mom. Weston is, he's not my youngest. Kaylee is my youngest. She's the one that's going to be 14. So suppose Kaylee came to me and said, Daddy Man. That's what they call their grandfather, Daddy Man. Now you say, where did they get the term Daddy Man? We taught them the term. I didn't want my kids to come up with some unbelievable name for their grandfather. Have you ever heard this? You say to the granddad, what do your grandkids call you? And he says, well, they call me Boopsy. Oh, that's sweet. Why do they call you Boopsy? Because they couldn't say grandfather. Well, I would wait until they can say grandfather instead of being called Boopsy. So Mary and I decided that she would be called Grandmom or Grandmary, and I would be called Daddy Man. Actually, I got that from my grandfather, whom we called Daddy Man, and we got that from my mother, who called her dad, my grandfather, Daddy Man, and where she got it, I have no idea, but I think it's kind of neat. Okay, so Kaylee comes to me, and she says, Daddy Man, I would like an ice cream cone, and I wonder if you could buy me an ice cream cone. Now, do you think I would struggle with buying Kaylee, who's 13 now, an ice cream cone? Of course not. I would go straight to Mary's purse and get the money. And then I would give that to Kaylee. Okay, so if Kaylee said, you know, an ice cream cone costs $3.50. That's about right, isn't it? Okay, so it costs $3.50. Could I get an ice cream cone? Could you provide for me an ice cream cone? All right, if I provided her need, in quotes, according to her need, how much would I give Kaylee? Say it. $3.50. Are you people with me? Like Tennessee, I don't know if people understand numbers or not. Okay, so you got the deal? The need is $3.50. Daddy Man, would you get me an ice cream cone? I give her $3.50. But if I met her need according to my riches, that would be different. Now, I know as the world considers riches, Mary and I would not be wealthy. But I honestly do feel wealthy. And I do have more than $3.50 in Mary's purse. All right. Now, I'm not going to tell you how much I have in the bank because, you know, you would be shocked at the enormity of it. But I would say it'd be easy to say we have over $500 in the bank. Is that impressive? guy said to me last week, Pastor, you have any needs? You have any needs? We'll help you. I said, well, I do have my Mustang payment, my car payment coming up. He said, I thought your Mustang was paid for. I said, it was. That's all I said. It is paid for. We said, well, why are you asking for a Mustang payment? Because I'm begging for money, people. That's simple. Okay, all right. So I have $500. This is an illustration. It's not necessarily the truth. So don't hit me over the head after the service and get my bank book. All right. I have $500 in the bank. Kaylee has a need for $3.50. If I provide her need, according to her need, I give her how much? What would I give her if I provided her need according to my riches? 500. Was that you, Brother Rick? No. Okay. You mean there's another wise guy in this church? Okay, all right. Okay, don't ruin my sermon, people. This is all worked out. Okay, if I provided her need according to her need, $350. If I provide her need according to my riches, it's $500. Now, there's a big difference, isn't there? Now, listen to me. God has not promised to provide your need according to your needs. He has promised to provide your need according to his riches. Now, we often say God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Does he? Yes, he really does. Does God have wisdom in abundance? Does God have patience? Is God just or righteous? Does God love? You think God's worried about a payment for a Mustang, even one that doesn't exist? You think God's troubled by that? Let me tell you something. I'm bothered when people say, when you go to prayer, you need to remember that God is not a Santa Claus. God wants your asking of him to provide your needs. Let me tell you something. If your needs are provided by you and they are not provided by God, you are not living biblically. Because when you think you've got it all put together and you can take care of stuff and I'm all right, I was saved, I'm thankful for that, Lord, and as my son says, now I'll take it from here. I'm telling you, that is prophetic. God's people ought to be dependent upon God's provision every waking moment of their life, and you can be. And you can walk out of this place tonight saying, you know, my God will supply my needs. Now, granted, it is based on whether or not you believe in giving and receiving. That's true. But if you do, and certainly this church does, if you do, then you can expect God to provide your needs. Now, if I were to ask, in the last week or the last month or the last year, has God provided for you, your need, what would the answer be? Would there be one thinking person in here, born again, blood-bought, who loves the Lord, who would say, well, no, it's been kind of rough this year. You know, I can't say that my needs have been provided. I know that COVID is upon us, but I'd be honest with you, I'm getting sick of hearing about it. You say, well, Bill, it's serious, and people have died. I know that. People die with heart attacks, too, but we don't hear about it every Sunday. And I just feel like there ought be a measure of trusting God for us. Pastor, 2 weeks ago, Will and I were talking to this pastor after the service. And he said, you know, not everybody's come back from COVID yet. And I said, well, I understand that. And I said, I understand it especially for people who are older, because it would be a frightening thing. If you're older, you've been told you get COVID and you're toast. So I understand that, and there may be some truth in that. I'm not a doctor, so don't ask me for that kind of wisdom. But this pastor said, yeah, but we have young people that are just coming back. In fact, he said, we had a young couple, man, his wife, and a boy. His boy's 9. Came back to church for the first time in a long time last week. And pastor said to this man, it's good to have you back. We're just glad to have you here. He said, well, we're glad to be here. But he said, you know, pastor, we had to be careful. You know, we had to be careful with COVID. And so we weren't able to be in church. And the boy, don't you love kids? The boy piped up with the truth. He said, yes. And last week we got to go to Disney World. Well, doesn't that kind of leave you empty? Think anybody's going to Disney World or Walmart or a restaurant or to whatever who's not coming to church? All right, now, what I'm saying is simply this. Look, we ought trust God with our needs. And God's people shouldn't be worried about everything. This same chapter says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the God of peace, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And God's people and their lives and their hearts and their minds ought be dominated by the truth that God provides. You on your way to heaven? Did you take care of that? Did you fix it so you could get to heaven? No. God provided that. Yeah. You married? You love your spouse? Yeah, I know you're handsome. I know you're wealthy. I don't know you have a great personality, but that's not how you got her. You got her because there's a God in heaven. Bill Rice Ranch, you're down 2,000 campers? Yep, down 2,000 campers. How you doing? I'm doing just fine, thank you. We're doing just fine. I don't want to be flippant about it, and I know there can be hard days ahead for any or all of us. It's not the point. The point is God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So why not just trust him with it? My God, your need, his riches. Let's bow for prayer. I'm going to ask the pastor to stand with me. I'm not going to point anyone out. I'm not going to twist any arms. I'll not embarrass you. I'm sure you know that, but I feel particularly obligated to say it. Could I ask everybody to sit up good and straight? Would you mind doing that? Just sit up. It'll just help you to think. And let me ask a question. I wonder if one of two or maybe three things. Number one, if you'd say, you know, Brother Bill, I have needs that have caused concern and worry instead of just trusting God. But having looked at Philippians 4:19, I'm going to walk out of this building tonight trusting the Lord with my need, my needs. And you just, you know, all of us face that. So I wonder if you're here and you'd say, you know, I have a need, our needs, and it's been on my heart and mind, and we hate to use the word worry, but I've been concerned and worried about it. But I'm going to leave tonight just saying, dear God, you're my God, and I know you can supply my need, and I'm going to rest in him and trust him for that. Would you slip a hand up where you're seated until I see it? Well, God bless you. Isn't that wonderful? God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Wonder how many people here would say, you know, Brother Bill, I may not be in this promise because maybe I haven't been as faithful in giving as the church at Philippi. I want the Lord to help me to give so that I can abundantly trust him to provide. And you just say, pray with me and for me about that. Anybody like that, would you slip a hand up until I see it? Anyone at all like that? Yes. Well, God bless you. Well, good. Well, good. All right. You can take your hands down. That's fine. One more thing. I wonder if you're here tonight and you'd say, I've been a little hesitant at naming my needs to God, but I see how vacant that is, how silly that is. God's promised to supply my need. I ought to be bold in going to him with my need. That's true, is it not? So I wonder if you'd say, you know, Brother Bill, I've been a little careless about asking, and I felt like I might encumber God or trouble God or think that the only reason I ever pray is to ask, which is what praying is anyway. And you'd say, you know, tonight as I leave this place, I'm going to leave with boldness to ask God for my needs. Would you slip your hand up, anyone like that? Well, wonderful. Okay, wonderful. Everybody, we look right here. Would you look right here? Okay, well, let's do. Let's bow for prayer, and I'm going to pray briefly, and we're not going to have any music for a few minutes, and then I'm going to ask you to pray. All right, now look, if you raise your hand, and there were several, whether or not Pastor did, so if you raise your hand, I wouldn't know necessarily what's going on in your heart, but if you raise your hand, would you just ask God's help about it? Would you do that when we bow for prayer? I'll pray briefly, then we'll just wait for a few moments. I won't pray. We won't have music. We won't have anything. We'll just wait while you pray. And then you just, can I say it this way? Just pour your heart out to God. Whatever it is, just say, Lord, I am so thankful that you provide our needs according to your riches. And if you want to name a couple of them, have at it. But let's just ask God's help. Does that make sense? Okay, let's bow for prayer. Father, you know hearts. We're so grateful for what you've said in the Bible. Help us to come with you with our needs because you have promised to provide them. And these people are coming to you in prayer right now. So help, we ask, for Christ's sake. Our heads are bowed. You go ahead and pray. We'll just wait for a few moments. I may end before you're finished, but you just go ahead right now and pray. All right, our heads are still bowed. I hope I'm not interrupting. How many people would say, Brother Bill, I did pray, and I told the Lord what was on my heart concerning Philippians 4:19. Would you slip a hand up where you're seated right now so I'll see it? Now, that's wonderful. That is a real blessing. Wonderful. Just a great number. Father, thank you for working in our midst, and thank you for giving us the truth of your word. We're so grateful for it. We pray your blessing on the dismissal and our lives for the rest of the evening. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen.